For a great Chicago show, we can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Listoon Varna. Oh, Listoon Varna. Listoon, 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 Listoon Varna.
How's it going there? Everybody from Cork, New York,
hey,
Dundalk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend Mike Houlihan, and with me, as always, my old buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hey, great to be back here, Hooley. It's beautiful here on the Chicago River tonight.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely
night
gorgeous.
On the river here at Lizzie
this
McNeil's.
Is the best time of the year at Lizzie's. Anywhere.
That's what I live for.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal, our old pal, Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois, WCEV. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. And if you ever miss a show, folks, you can always catch the podcast, usually up by Monday at SkinnyHooley.com. All right.
All right. What's new, Hooley? What's going on? What do you hear? What do you know?
Oh, man, what is it? We got Irish Fest this week.
Yes.
Weekend.
Yes.
Irish Fest and... Oh, man, it's just the anticipation of it is driving me crazy.
Yeah, they do
watering.
A good job. We
they
were
certainly
there last
do.
Year a couple
yeah.
times. It was great.
I was there recording The Crack last night with Gino, and all the volunteers were there meeting, and they're all plotting and scheming. It's going to be great.
How's and Gino doing, Gino Cooney?
In his element. He's loving it. And he, of course, Sunday night is... Gaelic Storm is performing with our old pal Katie Grennan, making
yes,
her Chicago
great
debut
Katie
with Gaelic Storm.
And Katie's going with us
going
to Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah.
October 19th.
So if you want to see her in action, head over to Irish Fest this Sunday night. And she and Gaelic Storm go on about 8:15.
Right. All right. How was your 4th of July?
Quiet,
very
except for
independent.
Some whack job threw an M80 under my car while I was driving down the street. Scared the
you,
hell
well,
out
you
of me.
Never would have done that when you were younger.
I was the old guy that they were, you know, I could hear them cackling after I almost jumped out of my skin. And it's like, yeah. And then I saw a cop follow the car. They threw it at me out of a car. I was in my car. It sounded like a cannon went off. Scared the hell out of me.
Well, out there in Berwyn, they would probably do a news conference over something like that.
There's a lot of whack jobs in Berwyn, as you well know. I'm one of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that, but that's the obvious.
So, speaking of Irish Fest, on, well, today at 3:30, in about 20 minutes, and then Sunday at 3:30, our old pals Dave and Colin Farrell, father and son filmmakers, are bringing another terrific film, Fingal's Finest, and it's playing at the Heritage Center for Irish Fest. So we want to welcome back to the show Dave and Colin Farrell.
How you doing, Hooley? Good to be back.
Great to be back here.
Great
in Chicago,
to have you guys back.
And,
hey, you know what?
You made the weather for us as well.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous here, isn't it?
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
this is the best American city. And this, by the way, this city... Contrary to what, you know, the modern historians said, this city was built by the Irish.
That's right, it was.
I agree.
It really was.
It really was.
And, I mean, if you look into the history...
And they're still building it.
They're still building it. Just drive around, look at all the big construction companies.
It's true.
It's but we've got a great history here, great Irish history here, and St. Pat's, what we were talking about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first church. They've had midnight mass there every year since 1857. I mean, that's for now. You guys in Ireland, you know, that's like a week ago. For us, that's as old as you can go in the city. I mean, and we had Father Hurley on here a couple times as a guest.
Great, yeah.
Just
he's a
terrific
fun guy.
Terrific guy.
Well, we're actually doing something out in Old St. Pat's. We'll talk about that a little bit later if you guys want.
Yeah,
but they're here for is they're playing their film, Fingal's Finest. Tell us what it's about. I watched it again today. It's terrific.
Terrific movie. I watched it today too. Terrific.
Well, Fingal's Finest is
and Colin wrote, directed, and narrated the film. And played Porrick Pierce in the film as well.
Well, you know, I was director, so I was able to choose my role. And people often comment on that, you know, a little bit big-headed to put yourself as Porrick Pierce.
Beautifully understated.
Hooley would never put himself in one of his films.
Well, you know, you and me, we're cut from the same cloth, Hooley, you know. And me too, I always end up in these
Why
films
not?
Too.
Yeah.
But it's another 1916 Rising film, but it comes right into 1917 too, with the connection to Thomas Ashe, who's the leader of the brigade that we feature in it. And it's a story that's, if anyone's seen A Terrible Beauty that we made, it's quite different to that, in that this is taking place in the North County Dublin, so it's quite rural 100 years ago. And while it's a very different story to what happens in the city, where the volunteers there are barricading themselves in buildings and fighting from within the buildings, this is much more guerrilla warfare. So
right.
Thomas Ashe and the 5th Fingal Battalion, they're moving around North County Dublin and Meath, for that whole week, and they're attacking the police stations, the RIC barracks, the Royal Irish Constabulary. So they take a number of barracks with kind of minimal fuss, and then they, towards the end of the week on the Friday, they get involved in quite a big battle just outside Ashburn. Yeah. So the RIC.
You said there was 8 policemen killed. How many rebels were killed?
There was 2. There was 2 young lads killed. Yeah. And what happened was when the RIC and Meade realized what was happening with this. It was kind of guerrilla tactics by these guys. When they heard that all these barracks were getting attacked, they pulled back all of the big barracks in the area, and they went to Slane Castle, and they had a kind of an incident room in Slane Castle where they were waiting for a report of an attack on a barracks in County Meath. So when the attack happened on the barracks just outside Ashburn, they had commandeered 16 cars from the local landlords and local gentry, including civilian drivers, and a number of them were killed.
Wow.
So they come storming down towards the barracks, and when they get to the Rat Crossroads where this all took place, a big battle ensues. Now, the police force was probably double the size of the volunteers. But the volunteer tactics were very clever. They were moving around the fields. They were hiding behind the hedges. They were shooting under cars, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they were moving constantly. Yeah. So it seemed as if there was a much bigger force, that was attacking them. And it actually ends up being the only successful battle for the rebel forces, the Irish forces, in that week. So
in the whole Easter Uprising.
In the whole Easter Uprising. I mean, they had small victories here and there where they were doing pretty well at Mount Street and North King Street and that kind of thing. But in terms of actually defeating the other force, ultimately...
That
was it, really, you know. And it's a story that not many people know at all, and that's why we wanted to tell it, you know, because it's a really great one.
I think the other thing about it as well is our central character, Thomas Ashe, you know, he goes on in, well, he's a fascinating character. He's a school teacher. He's a poet. He's a piper. He actually is the founder of the Black Raven pipe band, which is still going in North County Dublin.
Oh wow!
And this is the 100th anniversary.
Yes,
of his
and
death,
this
right?
That's right, Hooley. And what happens to Ash? And it's not really given away, or maybe it is given away. But anyway, I'm going to say it. What happens to Ash is that in 1917, a year after the Rising. He's arrested for sedition,
right.
I think, and he's imprisoned. He goes on a hunger strike, and he's force-fed. And basically, he drowns because of the force-feeding. It ingests his lungs, and he dies. Now, he becomes a symbol, if you like, of resistance again after 1916. And, there's over 30,000 people at his funeral.
Yeah, and Michael Collins spoke at his funeral.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm trying to remember
it's
the exact
quite a
words.
Juxtaposition from Padraig Pearse's speech at O'Donovan Ross's funeral. Now, this was the funeral was the first real show of force for the volunteers and for the national movement after the Rising. There was more people at it than O'Donovan Ross's funeral, because Thomas Ashe was right at the top of the volunteer movement, and the IRB, he was the president at the time. And at it, Michael Collins gave this fantastic oration after, just after the the shots went off above his Thomas Ashe's grave. He turns around and he says, that volley of shot that you've just heard is the only speech that it's proper to make above the grave of a dead Fenian. So it's, you know, it's a real turning point, you know, after the disaster of the Easter Rising. Although there's a lot of glory attached to it, you know, this is the real turning point for what happens next for the volunteers and for the War of Independence, and it also the tactics that they use are kind of what happens in the War of Independence. Richard Mulcahy, who's Thomas Ashe's second in command, only purely by chance he gets cut off from trying to get back into the GPO. And he gets cut off around North County Dublin. He runs into these guys, and Ashe knows that he's very tactically aware, you know, and that he's, you know, militarily speaking, he'd be much more experienced than Ashe himself. So in terms of the tactics, Mulcahy kind of Ashe does a lot himself. He's got great leadership qualities, and the men really respect him. But Mulcahy does a lot in terms of the tactics. There's a couple of times where Ashe wants to retreat because this is a big motorized force, you know, and Mulcahy manages to convince him otherwise, and you know, it's a really, really interesting story, and particularly for what happens, you know, in the War of Independence.
How many miles outside of Dublin was this?
25 or something, I think he said.
It's something like that. It's not that far, really, you know. I mean, at the time, it's a lot further, but these guys, again, they're moving around constantly. They all have bicycles, so they're all on their bikes.
It's almost comical.
It is.
It's like these guys are on their bikes. Yeah. And there was, they had a battalion of 100, and then the day the guy wanted to call it off, and so when they finally got it, only 60 showed up. So you got 60 guys. That was their 5th battalion or whatever it was. And
that 20 of them get called into Dublin. Then so they have 40 or 45 because a few come out to North County Dublin. It's it's really
amazing. Who was in Slane Castle?
The RIC. So there's a guy called the district inspector was a man called Harry Smith. And then the county inspector.
He got killed, right?
He did get killed. He was the only Englishman that was fighting, actually, that day. So this was almost like a mini civil war, you know. It was all Irishman versus Irishman. These guys would have known each other because the RIC knew a lot of these men. They would have been very involved in their communities in the villages in North County, Dublin and Meath. So it's a really poignant one from that point of view, too.
But the RIC weren't trusted by local communities. You know, they were by that point they were kind of seen as the enemy, and they were the enemy. But I mean, I understand why people would join the RIC. It's a job,
right?
When there aren't that many jobs, so it's a very poignant. It's a poignant story as well. I think Ashe is instrumental, in my opinion, that's only a personal opinion, Ashe is instrumental in, if you like, the revival of the volunteers after the collapse in 1916. And his death kind of focuses attention on the need for a continued resistance.
Well, that's what he was put in jail for, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this story isn't just about 1916. It's about more than that. It's about lots of things. But fundamentally, it's taking us into the next stage of kind of revolutionary Ireland. And actually, it kind of takes us into, as well, to what we're doing currently, which is, you know, the extension of our project is Revolutionary Irish America from 1913 to 23. And how that's come about is because of the time we spent when we were screening A Terrible Beauty, which is, you know, a precursor to Fingal's Finest. And what we discovered was things we didn't know, which is the impact of Irish America on 1916 and subsequent. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's far more than people in Ireland realize. Far more, and it's not.
How do you do when you do this a movie like this, or the one that you're coming up? Where do you do all your research? Just on the internet, or
no? I mean, with this one in particular, it was a bit more difficult to research because there's not as many books about the Battle of Ashburn and the stuff that's happening in North County Dublin. So, a lot of it came from the Bureau of Military History again, similar to A Terrible Beauty, where where we got a lot of the first-hand accounts from the volunteers and the RIC too. And then Richard Mulcahy, he's quite a controversial figure, I suppose, of what happens. He's the leader of the Free State Army after Collins and is responsible for quite a number of executions. So he doesn't actually leave a statement in the Bureau of Military History, but we went to his archives in UCD, and he has a fantastic resource there where he describes everything that happened. So, you know, he's one of the guys talking to camera, you know, similar to A Terrible Beauty, that describes what happened. But also the archives in Fingal, we worked with Fingal County Council on this one.
They helped finance it, right?
They did indeed, yeah. And they
gotta be loving you guys.
We've got a great relationship with them now, and it works really well. I mean, it's something that they wouldn't have done before, this kind of project, and it was something new for us to work with a local council on a project of this size. But we've become kind of great supporters of each other and what we're doing, and you know, if anyone out there is listening, when you come to Dublin, just take a left out of Dublin Airport, because Fingal is a beautiful part of Dublin that people don't go to, you know. Yeah. And this whole thing is filmed there, filmed on right location there in Fingal. So they have amazing heritage properties. I mean, people would know Malahide Castle, but much more than that, there's Newbridge House, there's, you know, one of the Turvey Nature Reserve where we shot all the battle scenes. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. You know,
it's totally open to the public, but a lot of people don't know it, you know. So there's a kind of an awareness as well. There's a contemporary thing to this in the sense that we're not paid to advertise Fingal County Council, but we became even more aware of what is out there historically. And it was great. It was great to be able to fill it.
Do they have a plaque at Ashburn?
They do, yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, it's bigger than the plaque. At the end of the movie, there's a big kind of monument. On one side, it's Thomas Ashe, and he's kind of carrying the cross.
Yes.
He has this poem called Let Me Carry My Cross for Ireland, and it's kind of depicting parts of that poem, you know. It's a really nice monument, actually. So we filmed there, and it features at the end of the film.
Yeah. Well, it's a terrific film, so go see it. Tomorrow at 3:30, or if you're listening right now, wait till the Skinny and Hooly show is over, and then you can catch the last half hour. But the beauty of it is it's only an hour.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's.
But it tells the whole story in an hour.
The whole story of
It's screening on Sunday as well at 3:30.
3:30 on Sunday. Yeah. Also, I didn't know they were called Fingalians, which I thought was kind of cool.
That's true. Yeah.
And I want to give a shout out to the one actor I just thought was great. Who played the IRIC O'Connell? What's that actor's
name?
That's
Owen O'Sullivan. Yeah, he's a great actor. I mean, Owen was, I think he was in IT or something before, only a couple of years ago, and he wanted to get into acting, and he's doing it more and more now. He's kind of doing it full time. So it was great to have him. I hadn't worked with him before, and he really got the source material too. It kind of took. You know, the words that O'Connell left behind really resonated with him, and it really comes true on the film, I think.
The other guy that was terrific, too, was Brendan Sheehan.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would know his brother.
What?
Who'd he play?
I don't know,
but
I saw his name.
He played Thomas Ashe.
Thomas Ashe.
Yeah.
Oh, he played. Okay.
He was terrific.
Any relation, Skin? You know,
no.
These things are always kind of funny because when we were casting. We did it in the kind of front room of our office, come kind of where I used to live. And Brendan probably hadn't done a lot of acting. His brother's become quite a famous actor. Well, you will hear about him in the U.S. You probably haven't heard about him yet that much, but you will hear about him. But so with Brendan, we said, you know, we want you to read for it. And, you know, we had a little camera set up to look at it. And he said, well, would you like the actions as well? And we said, yeah, the actions. Now, we have a couch. Like, it's not a casting couch, but it's kind of like a couch. And we said, yeah, go ahead. And the guy jumps up and he starts running around shooting, and he's going behind the couch,
great,
and he, you know, he's going and he's really getting into it. We're just looking at him and we're saying, yeah, that works, you know. It was great.
It's a terrific film, so everybody please go see it. And kudos to you guys for putting it in, especially you, Colin. You did a hell of a job.
Mention where it's at again, Hooly.
Thank you.
It's at the Irish American Heritage Center at Irish Fest tomorrow, Sunday, 3:30. I think it's in one of the classrooms. I'm not sure what room it's
who's
in.
Who's the guy that I met that's in town making the movie? The Irish actor?
Colin Farrell is the same name as this Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
tell that story. Skinny loves telling that story. Tell the story.
I was at a reception.
For Enda.
Yeah, it was Enda.
Yeah.
So we went in. We were in there. Holy was already in there, and I came in with my brother.
Mike, the sheriff.
The sheriff, and we walked in, and some woman came up. Oh, these are the Sheehan boys. You have to meet the Sheehan boys. They bring him up. He's in town. He's making a movie. It's Colin Farrell. I said, oh, hi, how you doing? I said, what do you do? He goes, well, I'm here making a bit of a movie. I said, what are you, a producer or something? He goes, no, I do a bit of acting. I said, oh, you couldn't find a real job, so you're an actor? I said, where's your ponytail?
He got the pick.
Everybody else is like bowing at his feet. And then he thought it was so funny. So he turns to my brother and he goes, do you know who I am? And my brother goes, the last movie I saw was Gone with the Wind. So then he goes, I want to take pictures with these guys because everybody else was running up. But he was really funny and everything. And then finally someone came up and goes, Skinny, that guy's a pig, freaking ass. I'm like, oh, yikes. But we had a lot of fun with him. He was couldn't have been nicer.
He was very, very nice.
Well, next time you see him, just tell him I'm looking for him. Right. Just tell him a name, right?
Yeah. I'll tell him that you want to put him in the movie. Yeah, I'll say to him, I'm sorry I saw you that time. I thought you were Colin Farrell, the movie producer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You know what? When we did A Terrible Beauty at the Siskel, and we were all going to go over, I think, to the Emerald Loop, and Connor O'Keefe is the manager of the Emerald Loop, and he calls me on my phone, and he says, how's it going? Are you guys coming over here afterwards? I said, yeah. And he goes, is Colin Farrell here? And I goes, yeah, he's here. He's here with his dad. And he goes, his dad? He said, yeah, they'll come with us over. And he goes, and then I went, wait a minute. I don't think this isn't the same Colin Farrell. And he goes, what? Oh, I'm not hanging around for that. Okay, Connor.
We've had that a few times.
Oh, that's good. That is great.
All right, now tell us quickly about the new project that you started working on while you were here.
Well, we're working on a new project called Revolutionary Irish America. And it's telling the same kind of the revolutionary period in Irish history, but entirely from an Irish American point of view. So we're doing a number of different stories, one of which is the women's protest movement that happens around 1919, 1920. It's really, really interesting. They, you know, they're doing all sorts of stuff. They're picketing the embassy in Washington, the British embassy. They're flying planes over the embassy and throwing 10,000 leaflets out, all this kind of stuff. So it's a really, really good one that's going to be coming down the line. But one that's really connected to Chicago here is the story of Thomas O'Shaughnessy. He did all the stained glass windows in Old St. Pat's Church. But he's much more than just a stained glass artist. He's an artist in his own right. He's an activist. He's the man that's actually responsible for Columbus Day. I don't know whether that's a good thing or bad thing anymore, but he started it here in Chicago.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Those Italians owe us for something. Right.
Well, so I was just literally came from Old St. Pat's today. I just jumped out of a taxi. I was up there filming all his work. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's got a really poignant connection to another hunger striker like Thomas Ashe, and that's Terence McSweeney in 1920. Oh, yeah. The triptych that's up on the balcony there that O'Shaughnessy did is dedicated to Terence McSweeney, and it's really beautiful work. He's also got some work up in Springfield, Illinois, and the cathedral, our church up there, and out in the Benedictine College. So we'll be spending a lot of time here over the next year to tell his story.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I mean, this man was a genius. I mean, I've really just started to understand the man. He had been an illustrator in the Chicago Daily News, which I don't think exists anymore.
No.
He described himself as a cartoonist, but he really worked hard at becoming a stained glass artist, and he used he went back to over 2,000 years to a form of stained glass work which largely didn't exist either in Europe or in the U.S. Most stained glass work was painted. It was painted glass. What he did was he found this sand, apparently fantastic sand in...
Ottawa. Ottawa, not Canada. Ottawa, Illinois, I think, is it?
Oh, yeah. Ottawa, Illinois, yeah.
And he created all of these fantastic colors. Incredible colors. So, you know, anybody that doesn't know St. Pat's, you know, go to St. Pat's and see it. It's quite incredible.
I go to Mass every Sunday morning.
Right. Well, you know, you know that, Skinny. It's and we really want to bring this man to the fore, because I really think that, you know, some people know him, but not generally. And he is probably the greatest stained glass artist in America. That's my opinion, but, you know, for what it's
that's
worth.
That's the best, that's the most famous parish in Chicago,
yeah.
St. Pat's.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When any Irish person came here, they were just told, you know, you need a job, you need this, go to St.
Yeah,
Pat's, go to St. Pat's.
Yeah.
Was he from, where in Ireland was he from?
He was actually from Missouri. His father was from Ireland, he was born and raised in Missouri, and then he came to Chicago and he was in the Art Institute. He was heavily influenced and was a friend of Alphonse Mucha.
They're going to say Alphonse Capone.
Not Al Capone, no, but maybe too, you know, you never know. He was, you know, a very famous Czech artist who also kind of lectured in the Art Institute here, but they became great friends The Art Nouveau style definitely influenced O'Shaughnessy's work.
Well, you know what? If for no other reason than you guys will keep coming back to Chicago, that's why I want
that's
you to
great.
Do that film.
Thank
just,
you
just
so much.
And you know what? Everybody get over to the Heritage Center Irish Fest at 3:30 tomorrow, Sunday, to see this great film, Fingal's Finest. And say hello to Colin and Dave Farrell. And
yes, do that.
A couple of great guys.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
We're going to be right back on the Skinny and Hooley Show with these messages from our friends.
Attention commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley Show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. Smith Village, located in the Beverly neighborhood, is a life plan community that's backed by the strength and experience of Smith Senior Living. At Smith Village, we offer a full continuum of care. Retirement is that unique and special phase of life when you shift from worrying about your to-do list to exploring all the things on your love to-do list. It's also a time to expand your interests, learn something new, make new discoveries.
The maintenance-free lifestyle at Smith Village gives you the freedom to do all this and more. And while you're exploring your passions, you'll appreciate the convenience of having dining, housekeeping, utilities, maintenance, social events, fitness classes, and wellness programming all covered by one monthly charge. For a limited time, take advantage of our three-month trial stay program to experience life at Smith Village without the risk of an entrance fee. Ask about our new trial stay program by calling 773-614-6836. That's 773-614-6836, or visit the website at smithvillage.org.
Yes, we're back. We're going to be at Smith Village Tuesday, July 25th.
Yeah, I hope we can push that show back a half hour. But anyways, Holy, I want to remind everybody about our trip to Ireland on October 19th. We had a great meeting the other night. A lot of old faces and a lot of new faces, but it's filling up fast, Hooli. So anyone that wants to go, you got to get to Diplomat Travel Agency as soon as possible. They're at 773-774-2727. Ask for Sarah O'Malley. But we're going for a week.
A week.
It's
going to
be a great trip.
October 19th and 26th. It's the perfect time for the time of your life. Hey, Skinny, I heard a funny story the other day I wanted to tell you about. Sarah, an Irish woman of advanced age, visited her doctor to ask his advice on reviving her husband Jimmy's libido. "What about trying Viagra?" asked the doctor. "Oh, not a chance," Sarah replied. "He won't even take an aspirin." "That's not a problem," said the doctor. "Give him an Irish Viagra." "What is Irish Viagra?" "It's Viagra dissolved in his morning cup of coffee. He won't even taste it. Let me know how it goes." Sarah called the doctor the next day, and he said, "How did it go?" "Oh, geez, my God, doctor. It was horrid. Just terrible, I tell you. I'm beside myself." "Really? What in the world happened?" "Well, I did as you advised. The Viagra in Jimmy's morning coffee took effect right away. Immediately,
he jumped
straight up with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye. He fiercely, with one swoop of his arm, sent the cups and saucers flying across the room. Then he ripped me clothes to tatters and passionately took me there and then right on the top of the table. It was a nightmare, I tell you." The doctor says, "Well, what's the problem with that? Wasn't the sex good?" "Oh, Chase, it was the best sex I've ever had in my life. But sure, we won't be going into Starbucks anytime again soon." Okay. So, Skinny.
Holy, you got to get that in there.
I wanted to get that in there. I thought it was funny. I'm trying to remember. Oh, will you please give me a hand with this door? Push it.
It's
so heavy. Here's the door over here. Here's the door. Oh, wait, there it is. It's so heavy.
Oh, I got it. Hold
on. Wait a minute.
Okay, there we go.
There's the door.
We finally got it open.
Holy cow. Push it.
Snoop Dogg admits he downloaded a bootleg of Jay-Z's new album.
Who cares?
Kathy Griffin reportedly questioned by the Secret Service for over an hour.
Who cares?
Joanna Krupa accuses Brandy Glanville of attention-seeking behavior in New York court documents.
Who cares?
Hey, Will and Grace is back in a brand new trailer.
Who cares?
Damon Wayans Jr. defends 4th of July tweet about racist Ancestors Day. Jokes aren't illegal.
Who cares?
His prison letter reveals Tupac dumped Madonna because she's white.
Who cares?
And finally,
Lindsay Lohan defends Donald Trump and says stop bullying him.
Close
it
up!
I got it. Let me get on your shoulder.
You hurt my arm. Skinny, get up there. Okay. Get that lead. Oh, man. Thanks so much.
Got it. Hey.
You know what?
Beautiful. Hey, Hooli, one
the
real
quick. The lady's name is actually Brandy Glanville, but I've changed it to Glanville. I have no idea who these people are.
I have no idea who any
of these
stars are.
It's getting to the point where we can't do as many because I don't know who any of these people are, these celebrities. I don't know who they are. They're idiots, I can tell you that.
Hey, the Cook County Sheriff's Office is having a golf outing for their Memorial Foundation on Monday, July 31st, 2017 at Silver Lakes Country Club.
Is this Katie Dunn's thing?
Katie Dunn's thing, yeah. So at Silver Lakes, Monday, July 31st, 9 a.m. shotgun. I don't know if that's good with the sheriff's office, but 9 a.m. shotgun, 3 p.m. dinner, $125 a golfer, and it includes everything. And $50 if you want to just get the dinner. You can go to www.ccsmf.org.
When is it?
www.ccsmf.org. It is July 31st, Monday.
Okay. Skinny, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's and Wrong's, their hearts are in those great Irish taverns, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, holy who died?
Holy, I think PJ sent you a couple, didn't he?
He did send me three. Janice Kent, age 78, beloved wife of Tom Kent for 56 years. She was a nurse at Christ Hospital Cardiology Department for over 42 years. She was the mother of Mary Beth, Julie, Stephen, Ann, the late Daniel, and Kristen Kent. God rest her soul, Janice Kent.
Hey, I got a call on the way over here, Hooli. Jimmy Sherlock died.
What?
Jim Sherlock died. The guy that went to Notre Dame, played football in Notre Dame. It was a Big Ten ref. He worked with my brother Mike. My brother Mike called me on the way over here. Terrific, terrific man.
A great guy. Heart attack or something?
The Carmel guy.
Yeah.
And he was an All-American and all that kind of stuff. He was just, I think he had a lot of things wrong with him. I don't know
you
what.
You got that.
No, it wasn't a heart attack. It was, he was very sick for a pretty long time.
Oh, that's
so
a shame.
Passed
God
away. Terrific, terrific guy. So he's got a son and three daughters. Say a prayer for Jim Sherlock. Terrific guy.
A Southside legend.
Yes, yes.
Skinny Rita Halpin, 96. God love her. Beloved wife of the late Thomas. The mother of Thomas Jr., Dennis, Mary Halpin, and Kevin. She's one of the few surviving Americans who could say that her grandfather fought in the Civil War. Captain Patrick Foley, an immigrant from County Kerry, Ireland, served in the 23rd Regiment Illinois Volunteer Infantry under General Philip Sheridan. God rest her soul, Rita Halpin, 96.
Hey, Hooli, Tom Ryan, 73, Morgan Park passed away. He was 73 years old. I don't have a lot of details. His wife was Eileen. His brother was Fred. In-laws, John Daly, Catherine Daly. And his nephews, John, Michael, and Daniel. And finally, Hooli, I think you might have one more.
Yeah.
Maureen Galloway passed away from Beverly. She was from Queen of Martyrs.
Yeah.
So say a prayer for Maureen and say a prayer for Tom Ryan.
And Skinny Alice Lal Healy, age 73, of Oak Lawn, a native of Ballylongford, County Kerry, Ireland, a mother of Michael and Craig, and the sister of Frank, Eileen, Ty, John, Patrick, Mary, and the late Bridget. She's going to be buried with her parents at St. John's Church Cemetery in Ballybunion, County Kerry, Ireland.
Oh, I've been to Ballybunion.
Ellis,
the Clinton
Lale
statue
Healy.
Is there.
And let's close up the crypt.
Okay, we got to close it up.
Close it up. Yeah.
But to go to Billy Bunyan again, Hooli.
Play golf. Yeah.
What did Tom Watson say? If God designed a golf course, it would be Billy Bunyan. I mean, it's just a magnificent course. It's not that easy, but I played 18 holes there with one ball, which is, like, impossible.
That must have hurt. I couldn't resist that. We're going to take a little break here on the Skinny and Hooli Show. I'll be right back after these messages.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they are service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy & Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Hey, you know what? Are we playing that new spot for Riley's daughter this week? Because I saw Brendan...
Is Brendan going to go on the trip to Ireland in October?
I think Brendan's kind of busy. We just cut a new spot for them, and they have expanded into all three of the shows. They're not only doing this show, now they're doing The Crack, and they're doing the Hoolies Hoolie. So,
did you give them a deal?
You bet I did. Are you kidding? Speaking of deals, I'm shooting a TV pilot this coming Tuesday night, July 11th, at Lanigan's Irish Pub. 3119 West 111th Street. Maybe you are out there on the south side are familiar with Lanigan's and all the great Irish bar. Music sessions they have with Kevin Henry. And Kevin Henry's going to be there.
All the young musicians.
Katie Grennan is going to be the host of the show, and we're shooting the pilot. And we're going to have John Williams, and we're going to have Kevin Donahue, and... a great Balrog player.
He's fabulous at Cabin.
He is, and so is John. I mean, we got a great lineup. Liam Durkin's going to come by and do a song. So if you'd like to watch, just for the fun of it, and see a TV pilot
you get
shot,
on TV and become famous.
You got to sign a release, but we'd love to have you and come by and drink. The booze isn't free, but the crack is free. So Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, at Lanigan's, 3119 West 111th Street. For the name of the show is Our Irish Pub. Ask for me. I'll be there.
Okay. Our Irish Cousins, it sounds like.
Sounds very much like it. Yes. It's a franchise I'm working on, Our Irish Everything.
What is it, Hibernian Transmedia?
Yes, it is. It's a Hibernian Transmedia production.
And you can contribute, right?
You can indeed. I'm glad you asked, Skinny. Go to HiberniaTransmedia.org, and you can write me a nice big fat check, and we'll take good care of you.
No, you'll put him on one of the shows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll put him on the show. And you can you get a tax deduction as well. Oh, you mean talking for the our Irish Pub? Absolutely. If you,
yes.
We have an Indiegogo campaign that's ending today, the 8th, and you can get on there and look up Our Irish Pub on Indiegogo, and you can get in, and we'll send you a DVD, and we'll put you in the show, whatever, depending on how much dough you put up. But
depending on how much dough you put up,
we just want everybody to have a good time, and
isn't it like against the ethics laws?
No, it's called perks. You do a perk exchange. Right. You know, everybody gets something, and you put the more you put in, the more you get out. Like life, Skinny, very much like life, my
friend.
Yeah, yeah. You get out what you put into it. All right. What else were you going to tell me about? Oh, the trip to Ireland.
Yes.
Well, that's like this is Katie week. Katie's making her Chicago debut with Gaelic Storm. Sunday night.
Which is a huge, huge
It's a big
band.
Deal.
It's a big deal. They travel all around the country.
They're
terrific.
And she's just so lovely and talented. And then she's going to Ireland with us. But
what time is she performing Sunday?
8:15 Sunday night.
If you guys should stick around and see her.
Yeah,
she's really
doing
Gaelic Storm is fantastic.
Yeah, they are. They're terrific. Go and see Katie. And then Katie's going to be on this show next Wednesday night here. Hopefully we'll be right out here on the river again. And then Thursday night, Katie's going to be on the crack at the Heritage Center in the Fifth Province Pub, the Taj Mahal of traditional Irish.
And then Friday
music.
Night, Billy and I are going to throw a hoolie in the Chicago River. Come down and film that, too.
Throw Katie in after me, and I'd be fine.
Right.
Okay. All right, so, here. This is a story, but I didn't have time to read it. Did you get to look at this?
I know.
There's a huge football game match, Mayo versus Clare, coming up. And there's an awful lot of people here in Chicago from Mayo.
Mayo, a ton.
Big. Most of them are from Termicady. And they split families apart who to root for. And maybe
where is it at?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to
so
read it.
So everybody go to it,
before
okay?
the show. It'll be on RTE probably. All right, so let's take a break. We got one more break we got to get in.
Yes.
And then we'll be back and we'll talk some more with Dave and Colin Farrell, the father and son filmmakers. God bless them. Right back after these messages.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you've got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 115 South LaSalle Street. IOS has an entire floor in this very prestigious building, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference rooms, day office usage, administrative support services, with customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com. That's integratedofficesuites.com. Or call them at 312-648-6200 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. Don't forget that number, 312-648-6200.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the South Side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips, or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
That's the great Brendan O'Brien there. So glad that they have expanded with us. And
hey, Hooley, you know, we've been doing this for 8 years. We've been so lucky that we've had the sponsors that we've had for all
these
years. All these people come through for us, and they've been really, really
You know, there's a rumor going around that Fresh Wave may be coming back.
Really?
You never know. I'd love to get them back. They were such great sponsors.
You could use it in the summertime, Hooley.
Oh, thanks, Skinny.
Yes.
That's great stuff. It works. I had a.
I know you do. I know it
they
works.
Gave us all those free.
I
samples.
I noticed that you haven't. You ran out of the samples.
Yeah, I ran out of
here
the
tonight.
Samples.
It's very hot down here tonight.
Yeah.
But we've been really fortunate because they've stuck with us and if somebody doesn't do these Irish shows, things get lost.
Without sponsors, yes, you can't do the show.
You can't do the show. Yeah, and there so many of the other Irish shows that go on in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to keep the tradition going, and you got to keep the, you know, just keep it going. That's all I got to say. So thanks to all our sponsors.
Thanks to all our sponsors. So we brought back Dave and Colin Farrell. We're going to do some film talk now with these guys, the great filmmakers from Ireland. And now what about your other son? He's in...
Yeah.
How's he doing?
This is Keith, but actually Keith, Colin, and I are working on a project called Taking the Picture.
Taking a picture?
Taking the Picture.
Oh,
and
the picture.
It involves a guy called Paul Hogan, who's still alive.
The actor?
No. Another Paul Hogan. We always have more than one Paul Hogan.
Sure, I'm sure, yeah.
Just like but Colin Farrell's.
Just
you know?
Like Colin Farrell's. Yeah. We have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you can fast backwards to 1956, there are two students sitting in a bar, maybe getting, you know, a little bit drunk. And
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and Paul says to his friend Billy, Paul is an art student. He said, you know, there's a whole set of paintings in London which should be here. And Billy said, well, what can we do about this? And he said, well, we could go to London and go into the National Gallery, the Tate Gallery, and maybe take one of the pictures as a protest and just go down onto the steps.
For Ireland.
Yeah, and, you know, they'll stop us.
It we'll sounds like bar talk, by the way. Keep going.
Yeah, except that they actually
more than that.
Yeah, except that they actually raised the money for this, and they go to London and they line up a photographer to take a photograph of them doing this.
Oh, he's going to document it.
Yeah. And the protest will kind of be there, and so they actually spend a week kind of sketching now. Billy is not a great sketcher because he's actually a veterinarian student. He's not an art student, but somehow they managed to get to know the people in the gallery, and they take this picture all off the wall by a painter called Morissette. I think it's called.
Yeah, Morissette.
Can you remember what it's called? No, you can't.
Don't ask me.
No, don't ask you. Okay, I won't. But so they run out onto
it's a female
the steps.
That's
yeah. Run out onto the steps, waiting for
everybody.
The people, curator people in the museum
to come out.
They don't come out,
oh.
And they've got a painting stuck under their arms,
oh, wow.
And they don't know what to do. There is a photograph of this. So they see a black cab. This is all true. They see a black cab. They jump into the cab, and... Paul
this
says
is a film. This is a painting that's worth millions, probably. Right?
$10 million.
Now it is. Yeah.
$10 million.
Yeah.
And Paul says to Billy, "What do we do?" And Billy says, "Well, I know a girl in Soho, in London. Maybe we go there and kind of see what the story is." So they go there, and this turns into a major diplomatic incident. Now, Paul's father just happens to be the Assistant Secretary General of the Department of Finance in Ireland with the unlikely name of Sarsfield Hogan. Now, that might not mean an awful lot to your listeners, but Sarsfield is not a common name.
No.
So, anyway, the end of this story is that there's a deal done between the British Prime Minister, this is the level it gets to, and the Irish Prime Minister, that they don't arrest these guys, but they do chase them all across England. This is like an Ealing comedy, if you've ever seen an Ealing comedy. And they're allowed to actually get back on the boat. And the deal is, the painting is returned, but the two students decide that the painting must go back to Irish soil, which is the Irish Embassy in London.
Oh, great.
The painting goes back there, and the painting now hangs in Dublin.
Does it?
Well, yes, it does.
This agreement that the government's made is up for, you know, whatever they do, with, you know, to look at it again in 2019. So it's a very topical kind of thing, yeah. You know. People know the Hugh Lane Gallery. If anyone's been to Dublin, it's a very famous gallery, the Hugh Lane. It's a beautiful gallery. It's where Francis Bacon's studio has been moved to as well. So this is a really interesting story. So it's one that we have a great script for, and we're looking to get it made.
Not a doc.
Oh, this is a full drama film. And if you've got any people out there who've got money who don't want to give it to you, they can give it to us.
Oh no, they got to give it to Hooli. No, forget about it.
yeah.
So
it's
this
a good
is
story.
A full. Feature film, a narrative, not a doc. Yeah.
Well, I mean, after hearing the story, you can imagine how it'd be quite a funny kind of, you know, absolutely. Buddy movie slash road movie. Yeah. It's something that we're really excited about and something that we really want to make. So we're talking to a couple of people over here, but, you know, there's
always...
Would
it be a comedy?
There'd be elements of comedy in it for sure. Yeah. It's not going to be a serious movie entirely.
Did you guys write the script yet?
The script is written. We didn't write it.
Probably what I should have said is... Hugh Lane was a collector of paintings, and particularly of that kind of period as well, with the period being kind of the late 1800s. He was on the Lusitania, so he didn't survive. But what's interesting and what prompted the guys to do the stunt was that Hugh Lane left a will. Leaving all of the paintings to Ireland.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't witnessed.
Oh, yeah.
And they reverted to a previous will, the result of which was all of the paintings were in the National Gallery, the Tate Gallery in London, who were refusing to release it. So they wanted to make
Brits.
This...
They strike again, Hooli, you know, they just won't leave us alone.
But you know, so he wanted, Paul Hogan wanted to make this program, and, you know, I've had the privilege of meeting Paul Hogan.
Paul's still alive.
He is still alive. He's not very well at the moment, but we actually filmed him in front of the painting.
Oh, cool.
It's about 6 weeks ago. And
the painting's called A Summer's Day in English, so it's Jour d'été, I think, in French.
Yes, and I just think it's a great caper. It's a great story.
Sounds terrific.
They were chasing him around England, did they have the painting with them?
Oh, yeah, they had it in a car, and they were this story gets even crazier because they dress up as two priests. Now, these guys are only early 20s. They end up in this pub in the Midlands of England, and the pub actually is kind of so taken because this is on the radio.
Sure.
It's on the television.
Yeah.
It's in the newspapers, and this pub. The guy who's running the pub knows who they are.
You know what this movie sounds like? A great entry for the 5th annual Irish American Movie Hooli here in Chicago. You could premiere it here in Chicago. Yeah.
If we can get it made.
We're going to find someone out there that wants to finance this movie, and it's going to be premiering at the Hooli.
The movie Hooli. Maybe the 5th or 6th or 7th. This summer or this fall is the 3rd annual Irish American Movie Hooli. Hey, thank you guys.
Thank you. It's
always great to be here.
Go see these guys, the Fingal's Finest.
We're just very
Sunday at 3:30 at the Heritage
Center. So happy to have the Farrells here, especially Colin Farrell. He's a famous Irish actor. He's in the movie.
He is now.
Thank you.
He plays Pádraic Pearse in this film.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening.
We will see you later.
Bye.
Tune in next time for the Skinny and Hooli Show.
The Skinny and Hooli Show is recorded in front of a live audience.